the Rod Arquette Show on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Michael Brown filling in again tonight for Jesse Kelly, and Michael will be with you coming up at the top of the hour here on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. It's been pretty amazing over the last several days now, an effort on the part of the media and the Democratic Party machine to kind of reframe or rewrite Kamala Harris. She has a very progressive history and a record and her stance on things. I mean, we played a soundbite a little while ago in the show where she's even against Christmas, apparently. Didn't know that, did you? But what about this effort to expunge evidence of her leftist history? Well, joining us on our newsmaker line to talk about that, he wrote about this today in the New York Post, is James Bovard. James, how are you? Welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show.
Hey, thanks very much for having me on, Rod. I appreciate that.
James, I love it. I think this is the first time ever I have ever seen this phrase. I think it's called camouflage, like camouflage. Yeah. I love that. Where'd you come up with that?
I think I saw that earlier this week a couple places online, and then I said, ooh, it would make a very nice headline. So I just picked it up and ran with it. So, but it's a perfect term for what's going on. I mean, there's a phrase that Harris likes to use in her speeches. She talks about having a future that is unburdened by what has been. And apparently that's her view for her own career as well. Because she is expunging it all, and with a stampede by the media, and it's almost as if there was a magic wand that was waved, and so many of the pundits are just kind of there like their glazed eyes, and it's almost anything that she wants to have done or expunged, it's done. I mean, there was a New York Times piece on Monday that gave her an absolution for every wacky position she ever took. It said, Miss Harris also often appeared as if she were not sure what she believed. Oh, so we can't criticize her then. Okay, well, I mean, this is a heck of a standard.
James, you point out, and I love this, she said on numerous occasions over the years that she's against erasing or even rewriting the ugly parts of our history because we need to discuss them. Apparently, she's okay with erasing or rewriting the ugly parts of her own history.
Well, I mean, she's a typical Washington politician that way, that they have all these lofty dictates and these moral absolutes except for themselves. I mean, there's always this asterisk that exempts themselves from what they're trying to forcibly impose on everybody else. But Harris was very outspoken last year in criticizing the governor of Florida for some of his school efforts to kind of cut back on some of the bogus history, 1619 style history. And she was so pious. I mean, this is part of what gets me about Harris, is she's one of the most pious politicians to come along in a long time. And that's part of why the media has raced to put her on a pedestal. It's like, but, piety doesn't work out very well in politics. We can go back to Bill Clinton, Obama. George W. Bush was pious after 9/11.
Yeah.
That worked out very badly.
Yeah. James, could one of the reasons that she is getting so much attention is the fact that she's kind of like the shiny new toy. You had Biden, you had Trump. The polls indicated that a lot of people didn't like either one of them. Biden has dropped out. So she's kind of like the shiny new toy in all of this. It's something different. And that's why the media is focusing and giving her so much attention.
I think that's part of it, but a huge part of it is the bias of the reporters.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, most of them are liberal left. As far as the Washington correspondents, I think they probably about 95% vote Democratic. And so there is a huge scoring there. And it's sad that this is a presidential race that's being portrayed as a choice of Hitler or Joan of Arc.
Jeez. James, what about how is she going to deal with this? Because, because of social media today, there is a litany of comments that she's made over the years about fracking, defunding the police, you name it, all her progressive stance. How does she defend those, knowing that those are not going to go away and constantly be replayed for the public to see?
Well, I mean, the folks that are paying attention recognize that, as you said, but there's also a vast number of folks who are just out there like they're sheep being led to the slaughter as far as the polling. So there's so many folks. There are so many folks that think Trump is so evil that that they're unwilling to believe anything bad about his opponent. And there's a lot of good reasons to criticize Donald Trump. But there's just a standard of evidence that's simply lacking for a lot of voters and also for much of the media.
How difficult of a position is she in, do you think, right now, James, on the selection of a VP running mate? She has some challenges there as well, right?
Yeah. I've been sitting by my phone. It hasn't rang. No, I mean, she's got a, I think she's difficult for her in part because some of the people that would be strongest don't want to jump on the ticket because there's a sense that she's going to crash and burn as far as not coming close to winning. So, and it's kind of hard to play second fiddle to someone who has disowned their entire political life history.
Yeah. What about debates? How do you see her faring in debates between Donald Trump, if in fact these debates happen?
Well, there are two questions. One is whether she'd be able to keep her laugh off the podium.
we can only hope.
Yeah. Because that's, I mean, it makes Beavis and Butthead sound reasonable. And the second question is which Donald Trump shows up. I mean, during that first debate with Biden this year, Trump was very disciplined and focused. But I think of some of the other debates he's been in, and it was like a loose cannon blowing himself up.
So, yeah.
It'd be a wild card.
Do you, final question, James, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Do you see a tight race right until the finish?
No.
Really?
I think that... Harris is getting a huge boost right now, but I think it's almost like a bipolar reaction among a lot of Democrats that were so desperate to have a change from Biden. So she's getting a huge boost now. I think unless Trump screws himself, and that's certainly possible, that he should be able to win by a decent margin. But I've been wrong before.
Yeah, as we all have. James, as always, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time tonight. Hope to have you back on again. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, on our Newsmaker line, that's James Bovard. He is a columnist at the New York Post talking about an effort on the part of Kamala Harris and her handlers to erase her past and create a new history. Now, he did mention a moment ago when we were talking about the debates that, you know, it will be a real challenge for her not to cackle during the debates. Can you imagine listening to a debate between Trump and Harris and listening to this all night? I'm sorry, folks. That's torture. I mean, to listen to that. I've got about a minute and a half of that if you'd really like to hear all of it. But I think about 30 to 40 seconds is plenty. And that laugh, it's showing up all the time. Every time she does it, it drives me nuts. Every time I hear her, she drives me nuts. And I hope over time, now we've got, 98, 97 days now, you're going to hear that over and over and over again because it's a nervous laugh. She doesn't know how to respond to some questions, so she laughs first. I don't know if it relaxes her, if it distracts her, if she thinks she's being funny, but that laugh drives a lot of people, including me, just cuckoo. All right, more coming up on the Rod Arquette Show and Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.